Welcome, Long Island. How's everybody doing? This is Long Island Gaming League podcast, new format. How's everybody doing out there? Hope everybody's staying safe. We have in store something very special for you guys. First treat, introduce our new co-host, Nicholas. What's going on? How are you doing?
How's it going, Berto? I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Stressed. Right? Stressed right now.
But, so the usual.
Yeah, it's pretty much. But no, I'm good.
Gotcha.
I'm going to give you the privilege of introducing our guests, your first guest to be introduced.
First guest as co-host.
Go ahead, take it.
So today we have a very special guest, three very special guests. Ryan, Chris, and Trevor from the Metagaming Long Island Esports, located in St. James, Long Island, New York. Guys, how are you guys doing today?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Doing pretty good. Good. Happy to be here.
We're good. Happy to have
you
guys.
We're definitely happy to have you, yeah.
Oh, no, for sure. Let the community out there that doesn't know who you guys are exactly or has never heard of you, or for people from far away that people, we do have a lot of people from a long distance.
Sure. So we're the Metagaming and Esports. We are a land center and local game store in the in St. James, just a little east of Stony Brook, in the middle of Long Island. We do Smash, we do Valorant, we do Magic, Pokemon, we do computer games, console games, a lot of fun in here, social gaming atmosphere.
A little bit of CSGO in there, too.
A little CSGO. It's
our first tournament.
All the good old games. Now playing our biggest LAN.
Yeah.
It's an older game, but that probably is going to be probably one of your tops for sure. Because if it used to be, it still is like it used to be. Counter-Strike used to bring.
Yeah, our opening day, we actually had a tournament for that. We had what, 12 teams?
Yeah,
12 teams, $1,500 prize pool.
Nice. Yeah, we had a couple of people flying for that. It was a lot of fun.
Wow. There you go. See, yeah.
That's pretty insane.
It was straight up. It was hype. Like
we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah,
2 years ago.
Day. Everyone was flooding in, and it was great. A lot of fun.
Oh, that's good. I mean, it's not just good for the community. It's good for you guys to put your name out there,
yeah.
Especially with the game so big. I mean, if it brings the crowd, you know? It brings the crowd. So what would you guys consider being your specialty in terms of games and activities at the store? What would you be? What you consider it?
So we have a couple things that we do. The biggest one right now, and it's kind of like the biggest community that we have on Long Island, at least an organized tournament atmosphere, is Smash Ultimate is pretty big. We get pre-COVID, we were having our tournaments were getting 80, 90 people in it. We were having that's like $5 per person, so that's what, like a $200-$300 prize pool every week.
Okay.
More than that, actually, right?
Yeah, it's kind of nuts.
Math is hard. so we have that. We have. Yeah, we have other things that go on. We just recently got into like card games and things like that, like Magic, Pokemon, things like that. Especially since COVID started, since we obviously can't have people, couldn't have people in the store.
Exactly.
So we kind of pivoted a little bit,
mm-hmm.
But that's worked out really well. So we got a good crowd that comes down and plays that.
That was a great move.
Yeah, it's actually me and Chris play too, so it was good for us. We just kind of forced our own, like, this is what we like to do, so we'll just get other people who like it as well.
Well, that was the idea of the place in the first place.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
we should do
the land center because you love playing games.
Yeah.
But if you can mix both, if you like both things, I mean, those two things bring a lot of money, a lot of people in. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I've been to other places that just play cards, and I've been to tournaments in other places, and it's, like, insane, just, like, Magic tournaments. It's simple. Or Friday Night Magic. I know they don't do it right now because there's no one in person. But Friday Night
Coming
Magic.
Back, man.
When? What? Let everybody know.
28th.
May 28th.
Oh.
That's right around
Magic's
the corner.
Allowing, or Wizards is allowing people to do...
Section play?
Yeah, section play again.
Oh.
Ooh.
I was looking that up and I thought it was strange that I couldn't find it nowhere. I was like, COVID.
Yeah, Wizards actually shut it down during COVID. They said if any MTG store did it, they were going to take your sanction away. So.
Ooh.
That's rough.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
Welcome you to guys the want to stay program. Business? Don't run events.
Yeah, exactly. You guys want to stay in business? Don't do anything.
See, but that's the fun thing about a land center is regardless, you can still run events online. When it comes to Magic and cards games, it's only in person. So, I mean,
sure.
I mean, could
they do have an online thing? Well, right. I mean, they have Arena, which is what it is.
Right.
But if you wanted that like real experience, someone did develop, or I think it was in conjunction with Wizards.
The competitive?
No, the Spell Table.
Oh yeah, Spell Table. Actually, Wizards bought them out. That's what it was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, some folks had created a fun little.
You just do a top-down camera on here, yeah.
And you can play Commander with your friends at home.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was pushing that really hard.
Seen that.
I played it. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
I was. I think in Japan, that for some reason, it seems like that's starting to pick up a lot. I mean, even before COVID, I saw them using that kind of stuff and holographics and stuff like that.
Some dudes in Ireland. That was a lot of fun.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Bam. Wow.
Yeah. I beat them.
Wow, okay.
Whoops, okay.
I've got nothing on us being US over there.
All right, so what do you guys have right now in mind towards the near future in terms of, you know, stuff to do at your store right now in terms of tournaments, activities, stuff like that? Even with COVID still around, do you guys have anything set up right now?
So COVID's starting to wind down now. We see a lot more people coming out as they get the vaccine. So that's starting to pick up. So we just really started, just as of yesterday, we started our tournament stream back up.
Okay.
We just recently we've been partnered for a little bit, but we recently gotten really into it with Trevor here from Gen Game to just up the production level of all the things that we do. So if you actually like check out the stream from yesterday, you'll see it has the whole set. Everything looks really crisp and clean. He brought a lot of money and equipment in.
I think the probably the funniest thing is, cause if you go back like a year right before we stopped streaming, you'll see like this exact picture hanging out behind the set, but it's rotated 90 degrees.
We're just needing a place to put it.
It's just because we're just trying to get things set up and like just moved in, mm-hmm. and then over the course of the pandemic, we did a lot of things. Like we tried our hand at some online productions. We ran Sharp Steel, which was an online Valorant tournament.
That worked out really well.
We did a online Smash Weekly called The Line, which we produced pretty much in house. So like we had everybody set up, socially distanced, and we just basically took over the floor and did production on the floor.
Yeah. So we got these like really long tables that pretty much go around the width of the store. We literally just put Ethernet wires all the way down it, and like it was like computer, then like 6, 7, 8 feet down, another computer, then down, and then it was just us kind of yelling at each other.
Yeah.
When stuff was going on, we're like, "Hey, do this! All right, do this!" Like
you need to put like an intercom on the table. You press the button and you talk to each other on the.
Yeah,
other
I mean, we had the headset, but we didn't have it set up exactly right.
Oh,
so
God.
Things didn't.
Well, it was just work. It was we found it more convenient to yell at each other the headsets already set up.
And we just want to yell at each other at all times, anyways.
The only more dramatic thing we could have done was written down little notes and then folded it into a paper plane and threw it at each other. That was the only thing we didn't do.
I mean, it's just a lot more fun to yell at each other, you know.
Yeah.
I see you across the way. I'm just gonna yell at you. Just you know, it's just more fun.
I mean, for who's watching, you don't know if you're yelling at them because you're pissed off. You're just talking to them, so it works both ways.
It was funny. We'd have like the TO on a computer, like on one of the other rows, and in online tournaments, you have the teams aren't always on the same page, so they're not all ready at the same time, so they're not all in the same room. So it's always the TO trying to get them all right. It's like, you need to start now. Come on. It's going to be – we can't have this tournament go all day. And we're like, production's like, we've stalled for like 20 minutes. Where are these people? Like, our casters literally need water.
We actually ran out ran the other way where literally the teams are like trying to start the match. And we're like, you have to stop. We have to hold. We have commercial breaks and sponsor engagements that we have to do. And –
online tournaments are tough, man. They're it's hard because everyone is you don't have them right in front of you to be like, hey, stop or do this or do that.
So definitely have a lot of respect for everybody that's running online tournaments of any scale.
Yeah, a lot of communication needs to be always crystal clear, or else you're just gonna run into a cascade of problems.
Yeah, and then you run into like network issues where someone drops and you have to like make it a no one's happy. No one's ever happy in those situations where you're like, okay, it's 20 minutes into the match, you got to play without them. Like, sorry, you're going to lose. But that sucks.
You got a buddy online you can fill in, you know? Because
exactly. You can't even do that. That's not integrity.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's not like everybody was expecting something like this to happen, that everybody would go remote. Not everybody has good internet at the house, too. So it's like, you got to play with what you got. And some people are in rural areas that the internet's
garbage. And when you're TOing it, you try to be a little, for anyone who doesn't know TO, tournament organizer. the guy who actually runs the bracket and everything. You try to be a little lenient, but at some point, you know,
you gotta put your foot down.
Yeah, you can't, like, 20 minutes into a match be like, okay, restart the match. Like, then people are just getting deliberately dropped just to, because they're losing, you know?
Yeah, they restarted. Yeah, so.
That sounds like a little too one-sided right there. It's like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, he's losing, I like him. Oh, it's restart now.
Yeah, you can't. So you just gotta be like, okay, it's after this point, like, anything happens, it's got to keep going. We'll wait, but, you know, if you could pause, you'll pause for, like, X amount of time. But once that time's up, you have to play without him.
That was the worst with Valor when we were running.
Happened once.
We had no ability to pause matches because the functionality just didn't exist yet.
Right. Yeah, they had the one guy drop off. Actually, the teams were really cool about it. They just started doing knife matches, but, like, it sucks. It sucks if you're, like, especially they were pretty deep into the tournament, so they had a chance to win it, but that kind of shot them in the foot. Yeah. One of the guys just DC'd and could not get back on.
That sucks.
That's always unfortunate, because being part of when I was competing, I was trying to compete but didn't make it quite there. I was trying, me and my friends were playing more competitively. We were playing longer games, harder games, all that type of stuff. And I want to say at one point, my buddy his Wi-Fi completely died during one game, and we were trying to stall. I think it was on CSGO. So the pause feature, there was always all that, but the other team got kind of tired of it, so they went even sweatier and more tryhard, and we couldn't compensate for the down player. So we had a bot, but the bot would just go middle and just die instantly. They just kind of stand there just like...
You got to master the bot, guys. You got to have that bot stay in spawn or stay in a certain spot or follow a player.
Yeah.
I mean,
so we tried
really good if a player alive. It's tough.
You can.
You can. It definitely is tough because
it's hit or miss.
It's very hit or miss. It's very hit or miss.
I mean, I miss the in person stuff. It's so much easier to control. My God.
Cross our fingers that nothing else weird happens.
That was actually my next question.
Get vaccinated, people.
Yeah, that was actually my next question. So, being that you guys host tournaments both online and in person. What do you guys prefer the most?
Along the lines of vaccination?
No, I'm saying, like, what do you guys prefer the most in terms of, like, hosting, like, events? So do you guys like in-person events more because it's more organized?
In-person?
If you want to find the best of any game, you always determine it on LAN.
Yeah. You get if you like just yesterday when we started to do the Smash LAN again, you had people like cheering people on and things like that. Like, you just don't get that energy online, you know?
It is.
It just doesn't exist.
Makes sense.
Can't exist.
I mean, it's the same thing in sports.
It can't exist. It's just not the same. Yeah. You see your teammates right next to you. Everybody's getting excited. And even if you have a crowd behind you, even if it's like 2-3 people, or if it's like 10, 15, 20 people like watching the games in person, it's just a whole different scene. Online, you just hear your teammates and
that energy. The energy from the crowd behind you. There's players that doesn't affect them, but you do have players that feed a lot on the energy from the spectators and that actually could take a little bit away from certain players. So, I mean,
yeah, it's definitely something as a player you have to. Figure out how to deal with either if you're the person who feeds into it, what happens when you're losing,
because
then you're going to be a streaky player. You know, when everyone's losing and the crowd's all silent, you're not going to play as well then. Like, you got to figure out how to beat that. Or the other way around, maybe you're getting nervous when everyone gets all loud and you start playing worse when the crowd gets louder. You got to figure out how to deal with that as well. And cause you can't get rid of the crowd. So
that's where you go way back to like grassroots Call of Duty. And it's like one of the best things you could put on your player resume was, I have LAN experience.
Yeah.
And all that means is you know how to play and how to control your nerves when the crowd's behind you, there's noise behind you, you're in a crowded environment, you have a lot of crosstalk going on, you know how to deal with the in and out of that type of environment. And I feel like, in a way, like, we're kind of losing that with all these modern games, how good the online play is, especially with games like Valorant and CSGO with good laddering systems now. Even modern Call of Duty, like, they've gotten it better. I mean, I won't call it great because we're still dealing with tick rates and the absolute control disaster that is the Call of Duty League, but that's a whole podcast on its own.
Yeah. They need to be more online clients.
I mean,
they just got up to tick rates. They got to have dedicated servers. They got to have the pro players playing on have the practice environments match the professional environment.
Right.
Yeah, they're playing different tick rates, right?
On CS:GO? Call of Duty.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, each player plays at their own house. They don't have game houses like most of these Call of Duty teams have, that they're playing at the same place under the same.
Well, we're talking about the tick rate, though, like the actual, like the server, the response time of the server itself.
Well, I mean, if everybody's playing from a different location, you got guys playing from East Coast, West Coast, it's probably going to affect that too, if it's, you know.
Yeah, yeah, more geographically centralized.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So at least for the most part, they shouldn't be wavering too far from each other.
But I mean, MS, you know, the actual like lag is lag. You know,
oh, yeah,
you,
true.
For one person is laggy because he's from somewhere else.
CDL's going back to LAN. Next event, they're on LAN.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank the freaking Lord, because it's enough of seeing too. I mean, it's bad enough that, and me and Nick can say it for ourselves, all the BS that we've seen coming out of Call of Duty. With all the updates and all the things that they try to do to fix everything, and they just ruin everything again, to the point that I personally, and Nick can confirm for me, I walked away from Call of Duty six months ago, and I've been playing Call of Duty for years. I can't deal with it.
I hear they have a big cheater problem, right?
You know what it is?
More wars than that.
When I walked away,
that's more wars.
I walked away. Black Ops 2, I think, was the last game I played, and tried to sweat.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was when, like, Golden Boy was still, like, making his glorious climb up the commentary ranks.
Nah, it's just Call of Duty. It's not just the cheaters, it's just the system that they have. There's stupid stuff that you see going on in the game, and every time they update it, it gets worse. It just gets worse. They fix one problem, and another one shows up. That's why I play other games.
You mean their 40 gig updates?
Oh my gosh.
It's not even 40 gigs. It's like 60 to 80 gigs per update.
I'm starting to feel like I have a hard drive dedicated to Call of Duty.
Your computer is just Call of Duty.
You pretty much do. Call of Duty initially, 100 gigs, and then on top of that, it's like maybe 30 gigs an update.
It's insane.
Yeah, and if you have, is it called Black Ops still? What is it called? It's
Cold War.
The Battle Arena, the Warzone. They split that out, finally.
Warzone is still 100, like another 50 to 100 games.
Right, but if you don't care about Warzone, you're not installing it.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Because Warzone itself is two games in one. Don't forget, you got Modern Warfare and Warzone in one package. They call it Warzone, but it's got both in there. So it's huge. It's like 120 gigs, something like that, just that game?
Yeah, and then updates. And then eventually when, I think it's World War II Vanguard, I think, when that game finally comes out.
November.
Those guns into Warzone. Are they still committed to keeping Warzone as a separate entity from the base games?
Yes, but they're still going to integrate, at least for now, the next game is still going to be integrated into the Warzone. So you're going to have Modern Warfare, Cold War, and the new game.
And then World War II. I think it's Vanguard. World War II Vanguard.
Something like that. It's going to be incorporated into Warzone.
Yeah. I can't keep up with it anymore. I just want to update that they're actually going to
think of it as like a new Call of Duty every year.
Well, they just redid the map. It's the same goddamn map. Just looks black and white almost.
It's spring now on the map. Yeah. So I have a bunch of guys that I play leagues with that play that as well. And their biggest complaint, the biggest change, even though it seems like the same map, like, because it's spring and not winter, there's, like, you can't snipe through, you can't snipe as far because there's just so much foliage from the trees and stuff like that. So it doesn't actually change a lot.
And actually it seems like the lighting is different. It almost looks like it's almost misty, like foggy.
It's supposed to be post-apocalyptic, right? It's supposed to be, like, after a nuke or whatever, right?
It's retarded.
It's gotten nuked, and now it's, like, we're going to drop you guys in post-apocalyptic nuclear war zone.
I always thought it was really weird how they try to, like, shoehorn a story into, like, a battle arena. It's like...
It makes no sense.
Yeah, there's no way there's going to be a bunch of people free-for-alling in this area, like...
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Fortnite that did it first, and...
Their
story was even more absurd, because then they just implemented, like, floating, like, areas just randomly throughout the map,
PUBG?
I think.
PUBG?
No, Fortnite.
PUBG had that too. PUBG's just broken. PUBG had something like that with the
broken
maps
already. They fixed it.
Oh my god, no.
It's still broke.
The game would be great if they fixed it.
If you haven't noticed, I don't play shooters because I'm really bad at them. So.
Oh, I am too. I play more for comedic effect. I'm just there to be the comedic guy on the team and be the bottom fragger.
Guys, I think we're losing. He's the big.
We're losing.
I'm all in.
What could go wrong? Just camp somewhere.
Nah, he's the bait. When we need, we just say, Nick, go out. We just, where are they? Nick, go out. Oh, there they are.
No, but in reality, Bruno. In reality, Bruno.
What? What are you going to say?
You know I'm the carry on the team. I'm saying.
Well, the bottom guy is normally is the anchor. That's what they say.
Exactly. I'm carrying them to the bottom.
No, the bottom is the anchor. That's what they say.
Exactly. The bottom is the anchor. Nobody can do worse than me. I'm just there to boost everyone's morale.
He's setting the bar so low everyone feels better.
Exactly.
Look. It's bad.
I feel that, man. I play a lot of Clash in League of Legends. With the guys I'm in a Discord with, and they're all like Diamond One, Diamond Two. I'm like this little gold player. I'm like, please don't hurt me.
I'm just staying inside of my proxy.
He's just staying inside of the bushes.
They're saying I was Diamond by proxy now.
Oh my god. Yeah. You're the guy that pops out of the bushes. He's hiding in the bushes all of a sudden.
I play support, so yes. So that's kind of the name of the game there.
Pops out of the bush, attempts to kill someone, just gets completely 360 and then just runs away.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could 360 in leagues. You can. I don't know why you would, but...
You can do the 360 Zonya while the Q's on someone. So you hit them with a Q, Zonya's, and then no one's going to kill. And then once the Zonya's ends, then you follow through.
Screw Lee Sin. He's playing right now. It's so annoying. Either they're the best Lee Sin mid that ever existed, and that's only when they're on the other team.
Oh, yeah.
Or if they're on your team, they've never played Lee Sin before. So they played pro, and they were like, I can do this.
Yeah.
Like, no, you can't stop.
I saw Boxbox do it with Riven, so it must work.
See, now you're talking about stuff that I don't even know. I don't play League.
I know very little.
You never watched League of Legends, Riven?
Very little.
Nope. It's never a game that I've gotten into. I've tried, but it's just...
Yeah. I'm more of a Dota 2 person.
Do you like toxic people?
I am toxic.
We play Call of Duty.
I am toxic. We live in New York.
The answer is yes. So you'll love it.
I know. I mean, we play with people.
We play Call of Duty, and we live in New York. What's more toxic than that?
Exactly.
That's New York special.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's a perfect game for New York.
Do they still have it so you can chat in Call of Duty with your team so that you can get everyone's toxic to each other, actually speaking? Imagine they put that in leagues.
They did.
Yes, even. No, they put that in Wild Rift.
No, there's Switch Chat in League now.
Yeah, but only you have to be friends with each other. You have to be in the same group.
I thought it's you could opt into the game chat.
Nope.
No, you can.
You can.
Not in League of Legends, you can.
No, League, I don't know. No.
Yeah, in COD, it's even worse because if you're playing hardcore, there's friendly fire on, and half the time you don't see your teammates' names.
Oh my God, if you shoot someone,
it could just be your teammate.
Oh, whoops, behind you.
They come back, they shoot you in the back of the head.
That's notorious for that. That's Tarkov, right?
That's what I play.
It's Tarkov as well as the team killing factor of Rainbow Six.
Because you don't have any like discerning anything on Tarkov, right? Like
there's not even talk.
You could literally be standing next to someone, you would have no idea who they are, even if you're in voice chat with them.
Yep.
Would you wiggle your gun or something to tell me that it's you?
It's not just that. It's actually because you have the two types of figures. You could be scavs, or you could be an actual player. There's different clothes, but I mean, like if you have five people that are in the SPMCs, they're all dressed the same way, and they say it tries to make it a little bit more realistic. I mean, it is, but I mean, at the end of the day, if you're playing with somebody, you should have some kind of way to talk with them.
I don't know. I play video games to get away from the real life. So
no, Tarkov's rough.
Talking to the person who plays iRacing.
I'm disappointed in you. Well, no, you play iRacing because you can't do that in real life. Like,
yeah, but the cars all behave realistically.
Sure, but you're not.
Except for when the physics engine breaks and the cars become part of the space program.
Spaghetti cars.
Fly.
You can go to the iRacing subreddit and just watch cars get launched into the sky, and it's just. It's so funny because you think it just happens to you, but no, it happens to everybody.
Oh, that's at least you know you're not alone. It's one of those games that doesn't let, you know, people.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of cars floating in space. But honestly, though, if there's a unique situation that only happens to you in a game, it kind of makes you feel a little bit special, not going to lie. Like, you know, your car just randomly inverts itself and just, like, splits in half and you're still driving. I think I've seen that maybe once.
You're playing a team game and a bug that only happens to you or rarely happens. You're like, this bug happened. Everyone's like, yeah, sure it did. You just suck.
Excuses.
Like, but no, it really did. Ah.
Excuses. That's what I say. Excuses. Yeah, you're just giving excuses for your 0-10.
Why are you going to shout me out like that, bro? I didn't do anything to you.
I've never seen you go 0-10.
Nah.
Oh, he'd be the perfect Yasuo player.
I was waiting for that to come up. There's one character in the game that there's a, you know, a small like inside joke for the community. It's if you play Yasuo and you go 0-10, now you're actually online and now you're ready to play and now you're gonna stomp.
Except for a while, that was true.
Yeah, yeah. You can go 0-10 and then late game and then all of a sudden now you're 4-10.
You solo someone for some odd reason. You can solo somebody who's got like 8-9 kills for no reason.
That's perfect for you, Nick. That sounds like a good game for you.
I mean, I've played League.
Maybe
you
should get back into it. Oh, Dota 2.
I'm just saying. I'm a Dota 2 guy. I'm sorry. I had to do like that.
You must be smarter than us, then.
I'm absolutely not smarter than... I'm not smarter than a fish, okay? I'm going to be honest with you. I play the easiest characters to play in Dota 2 when I play, just because I want the simplicity.
Rocket science. There's so many things you have to keep track of.
Yeah. Not for a good bit of the characters or the whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, there's definitely some simple heroes in there.
Yeah. Dragon Knight, he's pretty simple. He's a right-click hero. Ursa, he's a right-click hero.
I tried to play it once, and it was just... the tutorial was real, or at least the item building. They don't tell you anything about it, so I'm like, I'm building this in a way, and then they were like... People were flaming me. They're like, why are you building that? I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, they completely redid the new user experience in Dota 2 now. Like, this is a college course. If you're going to play Dota 2, you got to commit to Dota 2.
We actually did have, we were running Dota 2 tournaments for a while. It was, we got 5 or 6 teams. A couple people actually, like, flew out for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. They all knew each other, kind of, so it was very... Clickish?
Yeah,
almost like classes.
Teams. It's cool.
Yeah, it was definitely really neat. It was fun too. A lot of those players too don't mind losing, which is a thing that actually happens.
They were just there for the LAN experience and just to have fun.
Yeah, so one of the biggest challenges of running some of the tournaments is trying to balance talent levels. So, especially for League of Legends, we'd try to run a tournament and you'd get like a bunch of people that are like, yeah, I super want to do this, but I don't want to get my butt kicked, so I'm not gonna enter.
Yeah.
And they're just like, but
me and my five friends, we're all good in bronze, and then we'll sign up, and then
we get a
university team to sign up, and they're all the highest ranking,
suddenly everybody's just leaving the tournament.
Yeah.
But then what do? You run a tournament that's like an amateur tournament, and you have to be certain ranks,
right.
And then now you have to check their.
Yeah, but I don't want to sign up for like the kiddie tournament, you know, like that's.
It's
tough.
It's a challenge. It's definitely a challenge.
But I mean, is there any? Does the game have any type of mechanic that lets you? Probably doesn't. Like to be able to set up the tiers like that, like people lower tier not play against.
Yeah. So it has, but not in a LAN environment. So if we run a tournament, unless we put some sort of restriction on it.
That's on us.
That's on us. But then we have to check. You have to check your rank to see what it is. Then a lot of people have their own like alternate accounts for lower rank.
Yep.
So they'll go in there just save like all the money just beating up on these kids that don't know what they're doing.
Not a bad idea.
I guess. I mean,
good idea.
Everyone else's experience, but
yeah.
You know, and then making TOs pull whatever hair they have left out.
So there's actually and it's actually a good point, like, how do you balance teams out in an environment like this? So one of the events that I did pre-COVID, we did in conjunction with OS NYC, Operating System NYC.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever been there, super cool venue, big inspiration for a lot of the things I want to do, just because they have a huge production room in there, and they have, it's beautiful. Restaurant in there, it's awesome. So we did an event called GSM Creator Cup. And we invited 8 Splatoon players down to play a tournament.
Okay.
Now, eight players. Man, that's not a lot. Splatoon's a 4v4 game. That's only two teams. How are you going to have a tournament where you can only have two teams? So how the format worked was you'd have each person as a team, and they would have to draft from the remaining six to create their team to play against the other captain.
Okay.
So it's basically a captain's tournament of who can draft the better team.
That's a show, Matt. That's a show tournament, though.
No, but you can apply that all the way down the chain. So if you don't have a lot of players showing up to an event, you can use that same type of format to have a tournament when you only have enough players to play one game.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you
got to get inventive with it a lot of the time.
It's a super inventive format that works.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Keeps things entertainment. I mean, you're not going to have the same team playing against each other the whole entire time. Everybody's going to draft differently, so
you can mix and match. You can add additional restrictions in there, like, oh, you can't draft the same player in the same position twice or something. Like, you can't first pick the best player available. You have to actually switch it up. You can add additional restrictions on top, but to anybody saying, like, oh, you need a lot of teams to run an event, like, no, you can just get creative with the format and make it work.
It just sucks that you have to get sometimes creative. Sure. That things don't get a little bit easier that, you know, for you guys on the productive side, you have to, unfortunately, sometimes have to get creative with what you do. I mean,
Sure. I mean, a lot of times, it depends on the game, too. Leagues tend to be like that a lot. But you have games like CSGO and whatever, these guys just want to play, you know? So they'll come out. They don't care if they get the butt kicked. They just want to come out and play. So we get a lot of teams like that. What other games like that?
I want to say it's like Rainbow Six, Valorant. I want to say they're
CSGO.
They just got it. They don't care about losing. They just want to come out and play and have fun. Yeah.
Nothing beats the LAN experience.
The other thing, too, is, like, if you can run side events, too, so, like, after they're out of the game, you could be like, hey, there's going to be this
like the show
match
market
or something like that. Yeah, loser's bracket. I mean, loser's bracket, you're technically still in the. You can go back and you go through the whole thing and win.
You're still competing.
But, like, have this thing, like, you're out. You say you lost in the main bracket and the loser's bracket. Here's these, like, for fun games that are, like, maybe have a small prize or something to it.
Like, here's a 1v1 bracket or here's a...
Just keep them involved.
Give them some value for and things to do while they drove out or they flew out or they, you know, took the time out of their day to go for, like, a weekend to play.
And that's the other thing, too, is, like, a lot of tournament organizers seem to forget that most of your bracket is going to be comprised of people that are going 0-2 or 2-2. Yeah. And it's like you've got to have stuff for them to do. Otherwise, they're showing up, they're playing their games, they're gone.
Well, technically, 25% of the bracket is going to go 0-2.
Yeah, have to.
True. And not just the bracket. Is it, you're
going to have 2-2 best.
Right. Yeah. And you're going to have the people that are probably there to watch them. You're going to have that eventually. They're going to leave, too. So you're going to lose that, too. I mean, you don't want to lose the people.
Yeah, I mean, the spectators are going to stay around more because the games, as the day goes on, are going to get better and better because the teams, the chaff of the teams get dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
So the games are going to, it's not going to be, like, who really wants to watch a blowout, you know? The games are going to get closer and closer as we get farther and farther into the bracket. So for spectators, that's a lot of fun. And that's something that the teams that are out can do. They're going to want to watch the last couple games. But give them something to do in the meantime, though, because there's... It could be a whole day before you're running the playoff bracket.
Oh, yeah, if you're running a 32-team CSGO event...
Oh, God.
You're running across two days. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a group
day. Like Friday, Saturday, Sunday type of thing.
Yep.
Well, it depends on how many computers you have. You can kind of check. You can push it into 2 days.
Well, yeah. You're going to have it's going to be at least a two-day event, though.
Yeah, 100%. Sure. So you're not even going to have your playoffs. You're not even going to have your top eight, probably, until Sunday. So what do these guys do when, like... You're starting at 9 a.m., your team plays, you lose the first game, you go to your second game, and it's only like 10, you lose your second game. Now it's 11, 12 o'clock, and you're out.
Yeah, I mean,
what do you do?
That's not...
You know, you have to have something for these guys to do, so.
No.
You know, having these, like, side brackets or, like, these...
Skill challenges
for fun stuff, you know.
Showcase tournaments.
Yeah.
Have them play Magic against each other.
Hey, listen.
Teach everyone Magic.
Good at this game. Get good at this one.
I guarantee most of them know how to play Magic.
$1,000 on you.
That's true.
We can run
Magic drafts.
Hell yeah!
And actually, we could do the GSM thing. We could actually have a draft, a secondary draft tournament for whatever game it is, CS:GO or whatever.
Yeah.
Jesus, that would be interesting.
You don't have to worry about people, so I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah.
Seeing them try to figure out how to play. The draft itself would take about 3 hours just to read what card. Let me see what this does. I don't like that. Let me move it on. Let me read this card. Just to pick the first card, it'll take about... Just the first,
I think I've done one draft between me and my friends. I think it was me and three other people. I think we did a 2v2. I want to say we did a 2v2 draft with whatever set was coming out at that time. And it took us about like 2 hours just to build a deck.
New decks.
Because we were just looking at the cards, and like half the time we were just debating, like, do I want to go for this theme or this theme? Do I want to have this card or that card? Like, most of the time the cards were pretty bad.
I was a pre-release, so it was a sealed event. So.
Sealed, okay, yeah. No one's coming in and just blowing you out with some like crazy expensive deck.
I had to play the top seeded player at Grimm game one.
Game one? Once you see him,
I almost won the first game.
Yeah.
I misplayed my last turn, and he's like, you know, if you did this, you won the game. I'm like, don't tell me that.
That, especially if you're coming, so say you're coming to a Smash tournament, especially, or any fighting game tournament, right, where it's a double elimination seeded tournament. You're gonna come in for the first time. None of the TOs are gonna know you. You're probably new to the scene, so they're gonna seed you last. Now your first game, if there's buys, your first game is gonna be against somebody similarly seeded. But your second game or your first game is going to be against the first ranked or second ranked player in the bracket.
Yeah.
You're going to get blown out. Like,
right.
There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. How do you get those people to continue playing competitively when they're kind of like, you get a little disillusioned if you get blown out that bad? You know, well, luckily the Smash guys here are very supportive.
Well, there's a lot of
yeah.
things you can do. Like,
yeah.
especially for fighting games, like running things like amateur brackets,
yep.
training nights.
Yeah.
And having like side and alternative events. So like Smash Ultimate has tons of different game modes, like between doubles events.
Yep.
You can run
Squad Strike.
You can run
that's what we're doing when it comes up with the Meta Fight Night.
Yep.
A couple weeks. We got a tournament we're starting. We're trying to push a little more people to Saturdays just so it doesn't get too crowded on Fridays.
Right.
But the concept we're gonna run is a little different than like the really competitive Friday, which is like where all the top players come out. It's more of like there'll be a main bracket, but there's going to be Squad Strikes, there's going to be doubles, there's going to be all these different, like, maybe we'll do, what is it?
They're on a Spirits bracket.
No, the Hero, what is it called?
Oh, the Kamikaze bracket
where there's no skill involved.
Jesus Christ.
It's just an RNG. It's just an RNG bracket.
Yeah, whoever gets Kamikaze, it like, randomly picks, like, five abilities for you every time you use his ability. And if Kamikaze's in there, you have to pick it. It basically kills you and the other guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you pull twice, you lose.
That's hilarious.
It's actually hilarious because everyone just jokes around about, like,
yeah, people
are
screaming over nothing. Yeah.
I mean,
so.
it keeps things interesting. Even those kind of things. You think it kills everybody and all that, but it just. You gotta. The way things are right now, the way games are going right now, I think you somehow still have to figure out how to make it interesting because I don't know.
It's fun. We all play games because it's fun, even competitively. The competitiveness of it is the fun for those people who like to play competitively. But you got to remember, especially as a TO, as an organizer, as somebody who runs LAN Center, as anything in the esports field,
right.
people want to do this for fun.
True.
So how do you make it fun for them and continue to make it fun for them? Because you can get really bogged down in like the semantics of formats and rules and like this is this and this is this. And you can kind of... You can be too strict where you ruin the fun for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I'm making any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Like every rule you have to have. You gotta have rules.
Oh, yeah. Well,
no free for alls.
Free for alls.
Smash players forget all
rules. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
that's why I think Tarkov's never going to be an esports game.
No, it could
be designed if they somehow make it in a way that they can make it. Like a restricted map that you could just bring 10 people in and do it, but it's the game is just too brutal.
That's what Factory is for.
Factory, you should never play that map. And I play it all the time. And I personally
you
know.
You should never play it, but I'm gonna play it every time.
Oh my God, it's just too brutal. It's
gonna bring the toxic subject up.
Yeah,
is a battle royale an esport?
Ooh.
And
okay.
Yes and no.
Let's rip this one apart.
When it comes to skill, there's some skill involved. For the most part, if you're playing Warzone, Fortnite, any Battle Royale, it is mostly RNG. 100%.
Yeah. Well, that's my thing. Is, does the best player always win?
No.
Or at least get in the top two or three? And if the answer is no, can you really consider it competitive integrity?
It's going to depend on the game to me, too. Because when you can't compare Warzone to Fortnite. Fortnite has the building ability. That changes a lot in the game. And Warzone has the loadouts that you can bring.
Sure, yeah.
So how am I going to say? It's like Fortnite, you end up, you pick up whatever's on the floor. You don't bring your guns. Warzone, it gets to a point that everybody's playing with a meta gun. So then you do need a little bit of skill.
Yeah, everybody's using the FFAR and the Kar 98.
That's when you need skill. That's the game. But that's when the skill comes in, because it's all going to depend on who's better with the gun,
who's better at hitting their shots.
Right.
Sure.
Fortnite, it's a little bit different. It's more who's able to build quicker, build better, and then make your shots.
I would argue that that's a function of skill, and I believe in the Fortnite World Cups, of the past at least, they ended up changing drop rates on a lot of the weapons, so it would be more level in that regard.
Okay.
I think they have zones now, right? It's like you know what zone is going to be the high.
Oh, yeah, they have the loot value.
Yeah, okay. The zone, but so you have to make the strategic decision in the beginning. Am I going to go to the high value loot zone, which everyone's going to drop out to try to get good guns and possibly get shot right away?
Exactly.
Or do I go to a lower value and try to work my way up? That provides more for an actual esports experience, because it's you're allowing the player to decide what's going on,
right.
Not RNG.
Exactly.
So,
now, can we talk about the new 3v3 mode in Apex?
I just saw it yesterday.
Haven't played the new season yet.
I am so jazzed about that.
Bartek was playing it.
It looks so good. And it does everything that I wanted Apex to do from the get-go, which is have, like, a containerized mode experience that just does what Apex does well.
What's the goal? Is it
eliminate your opponents? Just eliminate your opponents.
Okay.
So it's everybody, and it's multi-round too. So you start the round and you knock down your opponents.
So it's another CS:GO now.
Kind of, but there's no objective.
There's no other CS:GO. Okay. I'm sorry. There's never going to be another CS:GO.
Well, Valorant is.
There's Valorant, yeah.
But we got a purist here.
I'm from 1.6. I started playing 1.6. It's never going to be.
Yeah, I played 1.6 too.
It's never.
1.6 was a totally different game.
And look at where all the Counter-Strike players are going now.
Because
they're following.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that are following.
Yeah, but you know,
following up the trend and it's just the newer CS:GO. You have the abilities like Overwatch. You have
also
aim gun mechanics.
It's different. It's a different type of game.
Right, there's a guaranteed esports ecosystem behind it. Goddamn, I hate saying this word.
And there's money.
That's the thing.
Following the checks.
Yeah.
Organizations are dumping money into it.
It's all because of the money.
You have a structure that's already built from the ground up. Like, if you look at Counter-Strike's professional ecosystem, if it weren't for ESL, it wouldn't exist.
True.
What's the problem when you let it be community run? While you get the grassroots effect of it, which is nice. You lose the, like, tournaments are going to come and go. Sometimes money won't be there for things. Sometimes the experience at this tournament is going to be different than this tournament, but they're both technically part of the tour or whatever.
The consistency that Riot brings.
Riot brings consistency. I mean, originally they weren't going to do it at all, but...
Yeah. And I told you flat out, how much you want to bet that Riot takes this over right before the coronavirus pandemic is?
If you said it because of coronavirus, then yes. I think the original idea, what they were genuine in the original idea of using it as a grassroots and letting people.
Yeah, and then ESL said, "Hey, you want to let us run some tournaments?" And Riot probably said, "No."
There was also COVID
or ESL said, "Hey, we want to run some tournaments," and Riot's like, yeah, sure, but you got to sign this huge document, and probably in that document had something alluding to what they did to them with the EU-LCS, and ESL probably said no to that.
I mean, sure,
here,
they want
sign your life away. Give me your soul. Thank you very much.
Pretty much.
Troll.
Pretty much. But I mean, still, always going to defend Counter-Strike. I'm sorry. It's just...
Oh, yeah.
It's not going away. It will never go away.
I mean, it will never go away. It's not that part. It's not even dying down, if you look at it. I mean, regardless of being the same players that are there, and you got
it's
guys...
It's dying down slightly.
No.
Well, the top end is. Yeah. You lost your top players.
Some, yes. Some of them shifted over to Valorant. But it's like something that I've spoken in the past. No. Calm. It's something I've...
Wait. Is Shroud playing Valorant?
Yes.
Shroud did play Valorant for a little bit, yeah. Shroud... He also plays Tarkov. He plays...
Shroud does not play Tarkov.
He's not playing it pro, right?
No. He's playing more for... Competitive, but just with his friends.
But the competitive mode, yeah.
Well, if you want to talk about Shroud, you got Ninja. Ninja's in Valorant now.
Ninja is in Valorant.
Ninja's been playing League. He's an ADC in League.
And he's just been yelling at everyone for the past 3 weeks.
I mean,
if you want to see what Fortnite does to somebody, Ninja's a great case study.
It's actually funny to watch Ninja and Shroud anymore. They don't care what they play anymore. They don't care what... Well, it used to be they have to play what the people want them to play, right?
Right. Because
they needed to make their money. Then they went over to Mixer, and Mixer guaranteed their $5 million, or I think it was like $7 million, or whatever it was for Shroud and whatever. Then, obviously, Mixer went away, and they had 3 or 4 leagues left on the deal, so they were just getting money in addition to the Twitch money. So they're just like, I'm going to play whatever I want.
Yep.
Whatever I have fun playing, I don't care about getting subs
and
or whatever.
And for most of them, they still have the same amount of viewers, if not more viewers.
Well, the viewers follow them, so the viewers went over there. It's like Dr. Disrespect. He got kicked out of Twitch, but he still has his viewers. They're over there on YouTube.
Dr. Disrespect. That's the
thing. I haven't heard the dumbest move
Twitch has ever made.
Yes, and
they know something. Him and them know something the rest of us don't know.
There's something.
And that got him kicked out.
Right, but I'll still say it's the dumbest decision because he took
from a business standpoint.
All those people, all those viewership, all those eyeballs, and left a very bad taste in a lot of people's mouths because nobody knows what happened.
I want to still say he doesn't know.
Oh, he knows. He admits that. He can't talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, I think he teased like a slight little bit of what happened.
Yes,
like,
we talked
about kind of keeping him under wraps.
We talked about
like,
this.
Don't say anything.
Oh God, if it's what it is, it's stupid. The allegation has something to do with him not wanting to do charity events or something like that. It has something to do with that. And then it had something to do... Oh my God, I was looking at it. There was a whole big thing in the interview that he did.
There's no way to him for that. They would just dissolve the contract.
There was just something stupid, and I think they came after him. It was just a whole big shit. They banned him.
They didn't just dissolve the contract.
They banned him,
so something must have happened that was rose to the level of ban-worthy.
Yeah.
And he was trying to say he didn't know what it was, and I'm like, why did you file the lawsuit then?
True.
If you didn't know what it was, they violated the contract. You file a lawsuit.
It could also
he never filed a lawsuit.
Well, he also still says that his lawyers say that he for him not to talk about it because it's still on the works. So there's still no decision out there done.
It's still under works. You file a suit immediately.
Can we talk about Twitch and Phantom Lord real quick?
Phantom Lord. Wow. I haven't heard of Phantom Lord in a while too.
Oh my God.
You know who won that lawsuit?
Phantom Lord.
What? I don't even know what happened.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened.
Remember CSGO Shaman?
No. Remind me.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I feel super ignorant right now.
I wasn't following at the time.
He's just, yes.
So I would say Phantom Lord was kind of with CSGO Shuffle on the down low,
very much was. Yeah, it was a down low relationship, but he had part ownership and.
Yeah.
They were feeding him like bonus rolls and like
that's a skin giveaway, gambling thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, that was him.
So we had guaranteed wins that he could put on stream.
Oh, that guy!
I remember that.
But my thing is, how did he win? If that's how it is,
like personal trouble though.
Yeah, but he was absolved of everything.
Okay.
It all cleared out, and
I never followed up.
I forget what the end result was, but I think there was some kind of monetary shuffling of cash. But Twitch has been doing a lot to try to, like, bury that.
Of course.
I've never heard about it again.
And you watch, they're going to try burying this Dr. Disrespecting, but it's never going to go away. Oh, it's not gonna.
Oh yeah, I mean they're burying it by literally banning his presence on the platform, even accidental presence.
Even anybody that would play with him before cannot speak his name, cannot say his name in stream,
cannot
really say disrespect at all or doctor in the same sentence.
Even if he was in the same game lobby as you and showed up, I thought they were.
That's different.
As long as he's not speaking on your stream.
Yeah.
He's shown up on people's streams and donated money and written like a phrase or something and left, but he can't. Tim the Tatman, which was his boy, and he publicly said this the other day, that he misses playing with him, but he can't, for legal reasons, he can't even talk to him on Twitch or anything like that. That to me is where, if Twitch is right, that's where they lose.
Yeah, I mean, they lose the PR battle, yeah.
I mean, as a Twitch partner, like, it makes me very disheartened to see them do that to somebody.
Exactly.
Just because, like, not only are you affecting the person you've removed from the platform, but you've affected a lot of other partners and their ability to perform on the platform now.
Yes.
Almost there's just not another alternative. Like, where are you going to stream?
Facebook's
not even involved in this cop. You would never see Dr. Disrespect go to YouTube.
I'm just saying, that's the other streaming platform that's out here.
Disguised Toast has been killing on Facebook, no?
Of all those, Disguised
Toast is one of the very few that
are on YouTube, and they do great.
Yeah.
But don't forget, Disrespect was a YouTube streamer before he came to Twitch. So he already knows the platform. He already has his base there, so. So he was already streaming there before, but I mean, you want to kick the guy out, whatever reason it is. Okay, I understand. You banning people from being able to even talk to him or write something to him if he's in your chat or to just play with him, even if he's not streaming on Twitch.
You're not gonna win the PR battle there.
What are you, a Nazi?
Yeah.
Streaming Nazi, that's what I call it. Because...
I don't know.
Further statements on this topic.
No, I don't care. I'll say it.
Damn, we just started 10 tournaments.
I said it live streaming that I thought it was very wrong.
I don't think that one's
going to
get you canceled.
No, listen, you get canceled from playing music that you're not supposed to.
But not on Facebook.
Yeah, I was going to say not on Facebook, but you get banned on YouTube.
I was going to say I'm changing Facebook, but I'm already affiliated on Twitch, so.
Yeah, I can't leave Twitch right now. Affiliation.
Twitch said they didn't, like, they weren't ready for it was the problem. Like, they used to get, like, one or two a month takedown notices because of, or whatever the notices. DMCA notice because of like music. The music companies literally bombarded them with like 60 a day all of a sudden out of nowhere, and that's why you got all the mutes and everything out of nowhere. And they just didn't know what they did.
But
I just found a way around it.
No,
my music really low.
Not even that. Grade,
but I have it really high in my pretty much. So then you can just barely hear it if I'm talking or if you're anybody that I'm playing with is talking.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of just faintly hear it.
Yeah.
But it's still there.
The problem with the DMCA is like everyone complains to like about YouTube and Twitch and all that.
Yeah.
They have literally zero control. Legally, if they get a DMCA takedown notice, they have to take down your thing.
Yeah.
If they don't, they are legally responsible.
But
they have to pay
the price. It's funny, if you put the music without lyrics, they don't say nothing.
Yeah, well, you just have like little five beats or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not being able to and not getting caught are two different things.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, we license all of our tracks now for my channel, so...
Right. We still get shit for it. we had a guy who literally made his own music and put it on SoundCloud and told us we could use it, right, when we first started doing...
Oh, yeah, Samsung.
And we would, like, for the longest time was fine, and all of a sudden we got notices, and we were like, what the hell? He literally, him himself, standing right here, told us we could use it. Like,
that's the same thing that happened to me.
It was all automated bullshit.
That happened to me.
I think they just don't have a clue what to do. I just think literally Twitch is just in a position of they don't know what
they're,
the hell.
They're behind 8-Ball. They're so far behind 8-Ball. They had no tools to manage takedown requests. They had no way for you to appeal the takedown requests.
Yep.
And, like, they told partners, like, oh, yeah, by the way, you just got to delete your clips if you want to save your channel. And, oh, my God. But that was infuriating for a lot of people. Yeah.
No.
There should have been a way. There should be a way to hide your clip for them for a period of time until like
label it.
You find out if you're allowed to or not. But they didn't have that.
Or you can label it as something. Label it.
Yeah.
As
nowadays you can just label it, or you can just kind of hide it and just keep it like almost like in a draft section if you're on TikTok or if you're on Instagram. Kind of have it in your drafts, and then you can just post it later on.
This coming from a company that lets people do hot tub streams. Oh, let's move on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's another podcast.
Let's do it. All right. Am I about to say like
I can't. I can't.
Am I about to? Are we going rated R here for a second, Bruno? With the
love is true.
You're gonna have to label the stream.
You want to talk about those kind of things, right? You have women live, basically naked. Taking money from people because you're going to have subs, you're going to have gifts, you're going to have all the shit that they're getting. And they don't get even a fucking warning. But you're going to ban or block people for this or for that or for music or for...
talking to the wrong person?
Let's not talk about the whole sexual abuse stuff that's been happening in the past and all that. That is...
With
Pokemon and all that stuff. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on with that. But, I mean, that's outside of Twitch. This is freaking live. Yeah. Every day you have a section. And if you go on there at a certain time, I don't even think it matters the time of the day anymore. It's like 24 hours.
All day, every day. Anytime that I'm on Twitch, for some reason, they're... Even right now, I'm on Twitch right now. I see
the suggested ones.
2, 3, 4 suggested.
What time? It's 9 o'clock.
It's 9 o'clock. They're all.
Give it 10 o'clock. They're all going to be.
One's belly dance. The other is hot tub, and hot tub.
The issue isn't like that they're doing
so disappointed.
It. The issue is that Twitch doesn't apply their rules the same to everyone. Like you'll have those stuff going on, and then you'll have someone who like has a low cut shirt, and they're like, "Oh yeah, you're banned for it." And it's like, wait, but.
It's their clothing in context rule that like gets
all their rules. None of their rules are like hard set rules. They're all like super interpretable, and they don't interpret them the same way for each person. It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, you got people that have like.
They've even done it to some of their big streamers. They don't do it to their smaller ones.
There's some big ones that don't get it either. If I start talking names, I'm gonna start popping out names. But there's women that have nip slips, that underwear showing, camel toe, this, that. They don't even get a warning. And this is stuff that gets posted on Twitter all the time, and you see it. And I think actually one of them, and I'm tempted to say the freaking name, but she, for some, I think she's going out with somebody from Twitch. That's why she doesn't get bit. The so-called one that kicked her dog
I don't care what people do on it. Just be consistent. Be like, if you're gonna ban this person, ban this person. If you're not gonna ban them, then don't ban them.
You ban your biggest streamer that was bringing you the most money for something that nobody knows. You're not gonna ban or at least do something temporary for these people that you visually see what's going on. Strange. Yeah.
I think at this point, I'm just going to become a hot tub streamer and just call it a day. I mean, if they're making...
Hold on, no. Hot tub VTuber.
Yes.
Oh, come on. I like the VTubers. Don't do this.
The next one is going to be
All night.
Pole dancing streamers. Watch. And they're all set already.
Can we actually talk about the one who does do that?
Yes. Go for it.
There is one who does it. Project Melody is on... Chatterbait with is literally just a stripper on Chatterbait and now has a Twitch dip.
Yes, and she does it on both sides. The only thing is she doesn't take her clothes off totally on Twitch. That's the only difference. But
she doesn't do anything like that. She just plays games on Twitch. But it's actually kind
of
funny.
I think there's a couple like being that we're on this topic. I think there's a couple porn stars too that are.
That's different. That's a whole different thing.
It's the same thing. Mia Malkova, I want to say she's a gamer on Twitch.
There's a bunch of them. But they play video games. They're not like in a
small attire or in a pot.
No, yeah, they're still cosplayed. They're still
adding cosplay is different. Feeling. Don't get me, but cosplay is different. This cosplay,
you
cosplay.
You can't cosplay and be
that. No, you can't.
Half naked because every single anime thing is half naked.
That's the excuse they give. And then they put it on the bottom, cosplay stream. Meanwhile,
I just want to make sure everyone understands. Like, I don't mind people doing hot tub streams. I don't mind you being half naked on stream. I don't care. You do you. Mm-hmm. I'll do me. I don't care. Just I want Twitch to consistently put the rule for everyone.
It's just
and that's what I want to get at, because a lot of people will go, oh, you're sexist.
No.
Being sexist. I just want them, if you're going to ban this person, then ban this person. If you're not going to ban that person, don't ban this person.
It's a Twitch
side. Allow it everywhere or don't allow it at all. One or the other.
It's not from the streamer side. It's from the actual Twitch management.
I don't mind the people what they do.
Hey, listen, they're playing the algorithm.
Right.
Exactly. They're benefiting, man.
You know what it is? You let the first one, now the floodgates are open, now everybody's going to do it, and you can't do absolutely nothing.
Once you let one, then it's two, then it's four, then it's eight, then it's 16, and then it's like the entirety of Twitch.
Pretty soon it's going to be, if you don't have your stream marked as 18 plus, you're not going to be able to say a cuss.
A cuss. Is that a hot tub streamer?
Yes, it is.
That's tempting. That's actually a good idea. I'm gonna do it.
Summer stream.
Playing Minecraft while in hot tub with joystick or with controller or whatever I want to do.
We'll make a hot tub in Minecraft, go into Minecraft, get in the hot tub, and then play a game inside Minecraft.
And call it a hot tub.
That is just too big brain.
That's too big brain for me.
Well, they do have Pixelmon, which is Pixelmon in Minecraft. I play it. That's a lot of fun.
Like, what is this? This is amazing.
I'm just gonna throw Pokeballs at Pokemon while I'm sitting in a hot tub.
This is my childhood in 3D.
That's it. I mean, it's like the next thing is gonna be
my childhood in person.
There you go.
I don't want to hear it.
That's your addiction in person.
No, that's called the bottomless pit. That's a black hole.
My addiction in person. There it is. Do I need to go grab the rest of them from down there?
Don't make me go get my box, please. Don't make me get the box. Don't make me get the box. I got magic cards from 4th edition still in a box.
Did you guys see Flesh and Blood come out? Like what the prices are going right now?
I have not.
So we got a bunch of boxes. So MSRP is I think 120. It's about the same as Magic. They're going for on release are going for four. I think we just sold them for like $400 online, each one.
Why so much of inflation? What's the problem? What's the thing?
There's a lot of people speculating on it because it's made by the old Magic creators.
Oh, old school.
It's going to go up in 12 years, so everyone's just buying it up like crazy. It's the same as Pokemon. Pokemon, everyone's just, half the people are playing it. They're just buying it because they think the price is going
to
go up.
Yeah, they're trying to get a holographic Charizard or something like that. That's what they want.
We just got Shining Fates in. They're going for $230. Box of Shining Fates, $230.
I mean, really? that's like special edition.
Just for a piece of cardboard, you know.
Listen,
we have Vivid Voltage. Vivid Voltage.
Well, that's like Modern Masters in Magic.
Modern Masters is only going for MSRP. I mean, who knows what the price is going to be at the end of the day?
Modern Horizons.
Modern Horizons is MSRP is
for collectors.
No, for regular, they do have collectors for that. For regular, it's like two something.
$350.
It was made to be that though. It was supposed
true,
to.
True, but that's the whole thing. It's cards that you know that are worth a lot of money and for sure.
Yeah, they revealed a few cards the other day, and there's definitely gonna be a lot of money in that set.
And there's limited prints too. Right. That's the other thing Pokemon's been struggling with is they can't
keep up.
Yeah, this last one, Battle Styles was the first one they were able to print as much as they want. Well, they said that, and we're still waiting for Wave 2.
It's still on the bottom somewhere.
We're supposed to get like 400 boxes. We got the first 100. It's supposed to be over like three waves. We're still waiting for wave two.
Hey, you guys need help. Me and Nick are available to go through some boxes. I don't know if they're going to stay there, but we can go.
I mean, it's
at
the Suez Canal. You want to pick it up for us?
I don't know if they'll get there.
I think I'm good.
Yeah.
How is your swimming?
I'm a decent swimmer, actually, not going to lie. I didn't take swimming lessons when I was younger. I still remember, you know, a good bit. I still know how to swim a good, decent bit, you know?
I'm just a doggy paddle guy. I didn't tell
swimming. That's kind of how I do it.
You live on an island and you're bad at swimming.
I get it.
A lot of people. There's a lot of people that don't know how to swim.
No, they know how to swim. They know how
to... They live on an island, like, it might be a good idea to learn how to swim.
No, they know how to swim, but they swim like a rock, straight to the bottom.
Right to the bottom?
Or do like me, buy a boat.
There you go.
Must be nice having a boat.
Come on. It's
just a great way to flux us over, and thanks for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, an old boat. At least I don't drive myself.
I don't know if I want a boat. All I'm thinking, I'm just looking at dollar signs in my face, like, how much money that's a great thing to buy,
and then it's just sitting there.
And they say the best boat is a first boat.
Just to have it for the year, like.
Nah, I don't do that. I have a small boat. It's just enough to take in and out. But, I mean, it's like they say, the best boat is your friend's boat.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't have too many friends. I'm lonely. I have one question. Now, we're talking about Magic, and we were talking before about Arena. Are the value of the card, I mean, I don't think it is in my opinion, but are the values of the cards on the game, you think, the same as the physical card, or you think let me rephrase that. Do you think that the value of the cards on the game should be the same as the value of the of the physical card?
No, not at all.
You can't.
We can't even trade on Arena.
No, you can't put physical product to digital product like in the same.
Well, you can't.
You can't.
It's illegal. Moto. But
it's not at all.
It's illegal.
But not in Arena.
It's actually illegal. Okay. You can't do it. It's gambling. Gambling is when you put how they're getting around the loot box right now is they're saying there's no real world value for the, you can't trade what you get for real money, so therefore it's not gambling.
Okay.
The minute you put real world money, so cards in a pack, you get the pack and then you can cash that thing out for money, you are now gambling. So they're never going to allow that.
Well, I mean, before Arena, you had Magic the Gathering Online.
I wanted to go down that line. Yes.
Yeah, but that was not really Magic running that, though.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
That's an official Wizards product.
Well, then.
You remember when they were talking, when they came out with it, that they wanted to do that whatever card you would buy online, you would be able to get a physical card of it? Physical copy of it?
Yep.
That would be nice.
Yeah. That's what they were trying to bring people. I remember that. I'm like, oh. And when I came out, I think, what was out by then? After Stronghold. I mean, there were valuable cards coming out at the time, and everybody was like, oh, shit, I'm not going to get it in a pack, but I'm going to get it online. Because they thought it was true. I don't ever think it came to fruition, that thing that they wanted to do.
Would a digital card ever be worth as much as a physical
card? No, not digital. They literally, the cards that you would pull in the packs on the game, they would. Their thing was, we will mail you the physical card.
Oh, my God, that's going to cost them so much money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they wanted to do. That's what they were saying.
Yeah, the logistics of that, I'm just trying to think about that in my head, exactly which logistics you would have to do. And
I think like 4 months for you guys to get there, too.
Because you got to print everything. You got to make sure that the two... Like, how many times is our inventory on our POS don't match what we actually have?
All the time.
So imagine on a national level. Though. So what happens if they pull a $500 card and you don't have one?
That's what I mean. They would have to have
Wizards, you print to order.
Yeah, you just make it. It would take five months
from wherever, and if the person wants it right away, welcome to your loss.
Yeah, but now it's not $500. Now you have all these extra prints. Now the value just keeps on going down and down. And
it's going to affect the value, too.
I remember everybody was happy when that thing came up, but I never heard of that coming through. I mean, that would be insane. That's what I was talking about the other day. I was asking, do they talk about that? No. They don't talk about that anymore.
Nah, I don't really know much about that. People here just want their, like, physical cards. We mostly play Commanders, so.
I just want my new Demonic Tutor. That's all I want.
New Demonic
Tutor? Yeah, I just want the ultimate art Demonic Tutor.
I opened two boxes looking for that and couldn't get it.
You still didn't get it?
I got two, what's the extra turn spell? It's,
Time Warp.
Time Warp. I got two JP Time Warps. That was pretty good. One was, like,
I forget what JP cards are.
$200, the other was $100.
The value was like off the top of my head.
Very nice.
I missed the card I wanted, but I got.
I just want either alternate Demonic Tutor or just the regular Demonic Tutor. I just want to have the physical card.
Oh, yeah. We actually got a alternate Demonic Tutor, but it's sold already.
Sorry, Nick. Too late.
That card goes for like easily $200. So I might as well just test my luck with a whole box at that point.
Yeah, we had bought it from someone, so yeah, it was something like that.
There you go.
Yeah,
it was pretty crazy.
It's such a good card too. I have an older version of Demonic Tutor. I want to say it's from 2013.
Yeah, if you want to play any type of competitive deck, you have to have it. You have to have all the beaters in, or else you're not going to win fast enough.
No, no.
I forget what the white tutor is. I have that as well.
Enlightened.
Yeah, and yeah.
I only got two enchantments, right?
No, it goes for an enchantment or artifact.
Artifact.
Yeah.
What's the strongest color combination right now? Is it
right this second?
Right.
Or what for now? I mean, we only really play Commander.
Okay.
And like who's the strongest Commander? You know, Thrasios. You know, so like maybe Thrasios, Tivna.
Godo.
So everything.
Godo or what's the one that Billy plays?
Both is Godo, but that deck's just stupid.
I just don't want to ever see that deck again.
See, I don't play Commander, so I don't know.
Yeah, color combinations is hard to gauge in Commander.
Yeah, I mean they did the blue. You have to play something with blue.
I know when Kaldheim came out, it was extremely popular to play Tybalt's Trickery. That was the counter spell that came out in counter. It was a mono red counter spell, and then you would counter your own spell, basically.
And then you flip the top card of your library, and then
it would be Emrakul. So you'd counter like your Brainstorm, and then you flip the top card. Oh, cool! It's 15/15. Just slap that into play. It's silly. That was pretty popular last month.
I remember even on the standard, everybody used to just play blue with something, blue with something, blue just be.
Blue, I think blue and red is the most popular color combo with blue.
Or white.
Yeah.
White. It's so
blue and red. White, I remember when white was just the what was it? Protective rings, protect against color, against this, against
that. Yeah, but they don't have that protection standard anymore.
That was
runes, all the mother of runes, giver of runes.
Yeah.
But no, they in the most recent set, they were like, we're going to give white. One of the bad things about white is there was no card draw. So we're like, we're going to give white card draw. There's going to be a card in there. Right for that, you're going to love. Everyone was like, oh, finally, we're going to get something for white. It was I forget how many mana it is.
So it's one and two whites called Secret Rendezvous, and it's you and target opponent. Draw three cards. You draw three cards, but also someone else.
But also your opponent, who could be playing, you know, anything along the lines of, let's just say blue, you just give them a counter spell, or black, you just give them a revival spell, and just like, well, you kind of screwed yourself.
It was printed in the Strixhaven set, but it's a really fun commander card, because you can play it group hug style, where you can just you can target the opponent who's like way behind, you're like, hey, but now you can get back in the game, you know? But also, don't forget that I did that for you. You know, you got some cool.
But now you're gonna think white has a card. You're like white. We're gonna give white something to match all the other cards.
I'm not saying it's good.
It has tons of card draw, but we're gonna make it so that both two people get it. It's
I mean, I'm not saying it's good. It's
definitely fun. Why do you hate white so much? Not you, but
white was only good.
Everybody just hates white.
No, white was only good when it had Armageddon, Wrath of God. That was the only.
Wrath of God's back in standard because it's in the latest.
Yeah.
Strixhaven set. They put it in the Mystical Archive set, so now Wrath is back in the standard.
Not Armageddon, though.
No, not Armageddon. Armageddon was Destroy All Lands. Wrath of God is just a 4x5.
If you play Armageddon, just leave.
But when I played, whoever played white, that's what they used. It was just Armageddon.
Yeah.
It was Armageddon, Wrath, it's stupid.
New Year's. What was the card that restarts the game?
Karn. There's a few cards that restart the game.
We literally restarted the game. We were playing on New Year's just for fun. And we had played like a 2-hour game, and then he's like, okay, cool, let's restart. And we're all just like,
no.
Oh my god.
No, it's 2 in the morning. I gotta go home.
That's the only problem.
Yeah. I kind of like went out in the blaze of glory. I was just like, I am SDing as hard as possible.
Put it in Smash terms.
Yeah.
All right. Gotta wrap this up, though.
I mean, it's Magic is you guys remember what was that edition that they had, chaos, that stupid prince that was like, they had the card that ripped the card, Confetti of Chaos, rip it, throw it on
that's a joke set,
oh my god, and I spent money on it. I spent money on two packs of that thing, and I didn't even know what
unglued, unsanctioned, or unstable.
Because there were four lands in there, and people would literally buy that and spend a lot of money on those packs.
Oh, that's nice.
Because they want these like beautiful four art lands that are only in that.
They want the blank.
I got the Chaos
Foil. They were like $30 if you got the foil one.
I think the lands from, I want to say it was Theros Beyond Deck, Beyond Death. I think that was. I think those.
I don't know. I like the Zendikar.
Oh, that's the Constellation ones you're talking about?
Yeah, the Constellation ones. Those
Constellation lands.
Those are the best. In my opinion, those are the best. Zendikar.
Zendikar, my man. Hell yeah.
As long as they don't come out with the, what was it, the snowed lands that
They just did in January.
Come on, that was the most stupidest thing.
It was stupid again. It didn't really do.
This card has special abilities on Snowed Land.
It did, but it didn't. I want to say it was. I forget the card, but it was the 3 mana. Well, it was technically 5 mana, 3 colorless, black and blue. I want to say it was Nefiri.
Narfi?
Narfi, a Betrayer King or something like that.
Yep.
That's the only card where I could see it, you know, the Stone Lands being used properly, you know, for something that's actually, you know, halfway
decent. Yeah, I mean, those cards would do it, but they're not terribly strong, so no worries.
Yeah.
They had cards like, oh, if your opponent has a Stone Land. 5 mana,
3 mana, bring back from the graveyard.
I mean, it works if you have Snow Lands and it's like, oh, if you have. Now, there was cards that if your opponent has one, you have Snow Land Walk, you can't. Nobody would use them!
Somebody is giving it to them. There's a new card called Cody that makes it so you can't play any permanents. You use it as your commander, and this guy, he copied it and gave it to all of us.
Yeah,
and we were all just sitting there like, well, now we can't do anything. Crap!
Stand still.
He's
going to run out of cards first.
I mean, his whole deck was built around it, so he was able to play it, but...
Yeah, he had a cool
combo. Then he played my deck.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, you have those lands that when you throw them in...
with my own deck, then.
Yeah, it has the ability of the land becoming a creature with stuff like that.
Yeah. All right, we gotta wrap it up, though. We gotta go.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yes, it was. We'd like to come on again at some point.
Oh,
again.
You guys better believe it.
I'm gonna come play some Magic.
I definitely want to stop by. Commander, I would show up, but when you guys have Friday Night Magic, I might show out one night and do a little draft.
We got you, buddy.
Bruno, I mean, you're going to go one day. We're going to represent Team Long Island Gaming League, all
right? We're going to be the anchors, right? We're going to be the first
guys. We're going to be the anchors.
Bottom fryer. Yeah, I'm going to give you guys this moment, you know, to put yourselves out there, social medias if you guys have, you know, let everybody know where they can find you and where they can find you online.
Sure. You can look us up at nymetagaming.com. From there, you can access, you can find out everything about us, our land centers, our products, our events, what we got going on. You can find us on Instagram at nymetagamingesports and on Twitter at nymetagaming and on Twitch at gengame, G-E-N-J-J. That's nice,
wow.
G-E-N-G-A-M-E. I know, I skipped four.
I don't have anything cheap to throw at you here, so I don't have it.
If you like Smash tournaments, check out that stream on Friday.
I'll bonk myself.
It's faces. You can bonk yourself that way.
Bonk.
Now there goes the screen.
But yeah, you can follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/GenGame. And for production stuff, we tweet out at GenGame on Twitter.
Check it out. If you guys like Smash, check out the stream on Fridays. There's some really good players to play. Suarez should be coming out again soon.
Hopefully. I gotta reach out to him.
Yeah.
Get Long Island's favorite Yoshi out here.
Top 50 in the world, Fawaz.
Well, it was funny, like, just to close out with that,
mm-hmm.
We've had more online Smash than offline Smash at this point for Ultimate.
Hmm.
I can't call that Smash.
Think about that as we close out the show here.
That's actually extremely true.
As I've broken Ryan's brain here.
Yep. Oh, no, I just want to crawl in a small corner and die.
All righty. Those are great guys. Nicholas, your turn. Let everybody know where they can find you.
Okay, so mainly just two places. You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/NicoChanGaming and on Instagram at NicoChanGaming1112. I think it was NicoChanGaming was taking, but that was my old account that I lost my password to. Don't talk about it. But yeah, that's pretty much where you can find me.
Jesus, it's rough when you got to think about your own tag, dude.
Yeah, it's rough.
It sucks. It sucks when you go, oh, yeah, I'm going to put my name, and then it's taken. Then you add a 1, it's taken. A 2, it's taken. 3, it's taken. It's just...
Yeah.
I used to hate that. There you go, everybody. It's another episode of the Long Island Gaming League podcast. Hope you guys liked our new format. We're going to be doing a lot more like this. We'll have all our guests come on like this. So you have actually a visual of what goes on when we do our podcasts. Really hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope to see you guys here soon. Don't forget, our sponsors is Four Eyes and Vertigear. Check them out. Great chairs, Vertigear, great chairs, Four Eyes, gaming glasses to help you be able to play a little bit better without the headaches. Us that use glasses know about them damn headaches.
I currently have one right now.
Really? You're not using your four eyes?
No, because my four eyes are currently upstairs, and I forgot to grab them before we started recording.
That's called being lazy.
No, it's called being forgetful.
Okay. Appreciate you guys seeing me. I hope you guys come back next time, and take it easy.
This podcast is brought to you by our sponsors at 4eyes.com, your go-to source to blue light blocking glasses. Blue light emitted through electronic devices like gaming screens can cause damage to your eyesight and affect your playing ability. With 4eyes blue light blocking glasses, you can protect your eyes and prevent fatigue, allowing you to play at your best for hours. Built for style and comfort, all glasses are now 50% off. Use the promo code LIGL20 for an extra 20% off. That's FOOREYES.com. Use promo code LIGL20 for an extra 20% off.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is a special impromptu episode of the Long Island Gaming League. Just figure we put out some content for all of our fans who listen to us via audio, whether it's iTunes or SoundCloud or Spotify. Anyway, this is Dennis, and it's been a minute, so I'm really excited to be back here and talking to everyone. And I'm only going to be here for a little while, but I want to give you some updates. Things have been so crazy. You've heard a lot of podcasts hearing from parents. You've heard podcasts hearing from different people in the industry, but you haven't really heard much about what is going on with the Long Island Gaming League overall. Well, let me tell you. First things first, we do have an event coming up on the 20th of December. So depending on when you're listening to this, you may or may not have missed out. We are partnering with Movieland Cinemas out in Corum. We are running a Smash Bros. Tournament, which I think is going to be really cool, because not only will you get to compete for $100 in first place, you get a free thing of popcorn, soda, and movies to see the Spider-Man movie, No Way Home. The reason why we're doing this event is because we kind of look at the community, because we do love the Long Island esports gaming community, but it's more than just gamers. You have gamers who have friends, who have parents, who have colleagues, who may not know much about esports or don't play. So this event is going to give them the opportunity to watch a Smash Bros. Tournament on the big screen and really invite people in. So if you're listening to this and you want to kind of come and check out a cool esports gaming experience, we suggest that you get your tickets on Eventbrite. Just type in Smash Bros. No Way Home Tournament. Get your tickets, and we look forward to seeing you on December 20th, 2021. It's a great way to end off the year with your friends and family and some gaming. The next thing that I want to talk about before I wrap up this impromptu, really, really short podcast here is I want to talk to you about the recreational gaming experience. It's the Long Island Gaming League's esports league, official league for gamers here on Long Island. And we are fortunate enough to have partnered with some of the great game locations on Long Island. So we're going to start with eLegends, located in Selden, New York. Have an amazing facility. You can go there, you can game at any time. And if you're a member of the Long Island Gaming League, you get a discount amongst other things just by visiting the facility and playing when whenever you feel like it. Then I want to talk to you about the Gamers Club. You ever know that club vibe when you were growing up, kind of club playing in your house, and you wish you could be at a club playing video games? Well, the Gamer Club is the spot for you. If you are in the Nassau area, it is in West Hempstead. Make sure you check out the Gamers Club. And last but not least, for people who are a little bit closer to the city, you're going to want to check out Game Station. Game Station's amazing. It's a cool spot in Queens. I love their little outside, the graffiti. It's real cool vibe, environment, the lights, the orange color. Definitely have done some events with them already. Have had a lot of fun, a lot of success. People have really enjoyed just the staff there. So check out Game Station in Queens. And if you're interested in being a part of the Gaming Recreational Experience Esports League, the games that are competing are Madden, NBA 2K, MLB The Show, and FIFA. So you can register. You can visit the LongIslandGamingLeague.com. Click register to join our esports league. And there will be a $1,000 prize pool. The league is going to be made up of 12 weeks, which is essentially 3 months. And you'll be able to compete at any one of those locations. So what are you waiting for? I want to thank all of you for listening to this impromptu podcast of the Long Island Gaming League. Maybe I'll jump on every now and then just to give you guys some updates to let you know that we are more than just esports, but we are a community and you are all welcome to participate and be a part of the Long Island Gaming League community. This is Dennis signing out, and I hope you enjoyed our podcast, and I look forward to seeing all of you on December 20th for our Super Smash Bros. No Way Home tournament event.